put it in. Let's go ahead and have the Overstreet Sisters go ahead and sound off one more time for your mama. Say goodbye. Just say goodbye to the K-Boos.
Bye. Have a blessed 2017.
And she said, pray for it in and pray it out. That's what she said earlier. All right, we got Shatina Scott, a.k.a. Petty Pimp.
Hey, right here. Thank y'all for tuning in. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, Society College. I start in a couple weeks. Professor David Jefferson. It's me.
It's a Society College. Y'all look out. David Jefferson, look out. I am your host, the Amazon Queen. Thank you for tuning in, K-Boo. K-Boo's 90.7. Thank y'all so very much for everyone coming in. Y'all be safe. See you next month. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
It is 6:31. You were listening to KBOO 90.7 in Portland. Coming up next, we've got Doug McVeigh with Free Culture Radio. Good evening. Coming to you from the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the inescapable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs, nor condemns people for being drug users. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when drug users are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. Back in 1972, a commission appointed by the Nixon administration brought out a report titled Marijuana, a Signal of Misunderstanding. The chair of that commission, former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond P. Schaefer, believed it was important that the commission's report accurately reflect what they had learned, that marijuana was not the assassin of youth. Their report found that the greatest danger posed by marijuana use was the threat of criminal arrest. Schaefer wanted to demythologize marijuana to make it less glamorous and less attractive to young people, and to decriminalize marijuana so that fewer young lives would be ruined by an arrest. Nixon, on the other hand, wanted a strong, hard-hitting statement on marijuana that supported his law and order criminalized approach. At the time, Schaefer was being considered for appointment to the federal bench, so there was a lot riding on this commission report. President Nixon made that clear to Schaefer when they met at the White House a few months before the report's release. Schaefer and his commission decided instead to deliver an honest report, which President Nixon promptly rejected at a news conference. Raymond Schaefer was never made a federal judge. 40 years later, the states of Colorado and Washington voted to legalize adult social use of marijuana and to regulate commercial production and distribution. I mean, thanks to state medical cannabis measures, when those states legalized in 2012, there was already a burgeoning legal industry in the U.S. What had been unthinkable 40 years earlier was now reality. Of course, those changes didn't happen overnight. Drug policy reformers and social justice activists worked hard for decades building a movement for reform. The cultural evolution that arose from this ongoing political revolution is starting to be felt both in the U.S. and abroad. To get a view of the current landscape and a better idea of the direction in which we're going and the impact this has all had, tonight on Free Culture Radio, we speak with Bethany Moore, the communications and project manager for the National Cannabis Industry Association. Bethany, thank you for being here this evening.
Doug, thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to be here in Portland.
It's a beautiful city. Now first, tell us a bit about the group you work for, the National Cannabis Industry Association. Who are you?
You got it. NCIA for short. National Cannabis Industry Association is quite a mouthful. NCIA is in its seventh year of operation. NCIA was born in 2010, seeing the need to have an industry association represent the, at the time, medical marijuana programs and businesses that were in just a handful of states, California mainly, at the time. And seeing that momentum was going to be built forward, some marijuana movement activists, Aaron Smith is our executive director. He came from the movement world and marijuana policy project. MPP for short, very integral in changing laws state by state with those initiatives. Now that's where NCIA comes in once the laws have changed for both medical and adult use businesses. So we represent the cannabis industry at the federal level. We're the guys with the lobbyists in Washington, D.C., looking out for the business owners so that they can continue to do their best to build their businesses and provide cannabis to those who seek it.
Now, you didn't come from the business world, of course. You have a background as an activist, correct?
I do. In my spare time for many years, probably about a dozen years or more, I was living in the Maryland, Washington, D.C. area and definitely connected with some amazing cannabis activists at the time who are all still very much involved. So I learned a lot about the social justice aspect of the cannabis movement and all the other issues around it. And I got involved. I volunteered with the Maryland chapter of Americans for Safe Access, which is a group that looks out for medical marijuana patients, and continued to stay active and involved and reading all my MPP emails that would come in and just trying to stay aware and on top of these issues.
So now you're the communications and project manager for NCIA. What do you do there? It's a good title. What's that mean? What do you do there?
Sure. Well, the projects part, the and projects part, is because I'm a little bit of a project management nerd. I love organizing work breakdown structures and getting deliverables in on time. Yay, nerdy, geeky. The other part is the communications part that I really love. I work with our members to get content from them, have them write blogs, have them as a guest on our new weekly podcast. We put out our monthly email newsletter. I also get to work with a videographer. We put out video newsletters every month as well. So these are the kinds of projects I work on in the communications department, including media partnerships. It's really exciting. I love being able to interact with our members and hear their stories and help tell those stories to the not only the other members in the association, but the public in general.
Right on. Well, now, of course, this is a show about drugs. We should probably start talking about those, specifically about weed, you know, pot,
you got
ganja,
it.
Reefer.
Reefer.
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Or cannabis, if you speak Latin. you know, marijuana. Marijuana businesses in Oregon is becoming legal. We've seen some major changes in just the last few months. Mm-hmm. Adult social use is rolling out. We're going to continue seeing changes in both medical and adult social use. I mean, when the state legislature comes back in February, we already know there are going to be a lot of bills that will be introduced. I mean, who knows where it's all going to be going? Ooh, well, actually, hopefully you have an idea of where these things are. What's up with the marijuana laws these days? Let's get an idea of what we're looking at currently. As I say, things have changed so fast.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's different from state to state. Even different localities are looking at different ways to handle things. It's really up to the business owners and the activists in those communities to stay in touch with the local regulators and legislators and have a seat at the table when legislation's being written, when decisions are being made, when there's hearings, when there's votes. We really need the activists and the business owners to be right there. You know, don't sit on your hands. Have your voice heard. Let them know what challenges you have as a business owner and what you think the solutions might be instead of just, you know, waiting to see what happens. So, I mean, we shall see. It's a big year for we shall see. So I would just encourage everybody in the industry and in the movement to speak up, speak loud, get involved.
Now, at the federal level, we've obviously got a new administration coming in, so mm-hmm. we're not going to know really what's going to happen from the executive branch. The Congress, on the other hand, we now have... I've talked for a long time about this sort of nascent drug policy reform caucus. Now there really is a marijuana legalization or some kind of a cannabis caucus
on
Capitol Hill.
Yeah, yeah. This is great. We now have more than half of the members of Congress representing a state that has either a medical or an adult use cannabis program in place. So if you're looking at the chart of seats of all the possible members of Congress, both the House and Senate, we have over half the Senate. That's really great. And we have a ton of the House of Representatives as well. So what this means is we need to make friends with these members of Congress, and we need them to understand our issues as an industry and as a movement, so that when they go back to talk to their colleagues, maybe in states that do not yet have any kind of cannabis freedom access, to educate their fellow congressmen and also vote in our favor when the opportunity arises.
Now, obviously businesses have to work at the local level to deal with the municipalities and zoning and the like. Do you think, I mean, are people putting enough emphasis on that local work, do you think, or do they need to? I mean, marijuana legalization was such a big picture thing, you know, talk to the feds, maybe talk to friendlies at the state level. But again, in states like, well, like in Oregon here, do you think are we is it about the right balance? Should we be doing more as far as local, like really local to county and city folks?
I mean, certainly continue. I'm not exactly sure which business owners have friendships with which folks right now. I would certainly hope that they're making an effort to attend town halls and visit their offices in their districts. I think there's the importance to do all of that work. And in Portland, you're so lucky to have Congressman Earl Blumenauer. What a guy. He is one of our champions for cannabis issues. He really gets it. They don't make congressmen like him anymore. So somebody like Earl, who's so tied to Portland culture, it creates an easier avenue for the folks in Portland to feel like they have a friend, a champion at the government level. But the bigger picture, we also very much need to look at what's happening at the federal level, because that affects all 50 states. So defending the Cole Memorandum and continuing to make sure the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment stays in our funding and our appropriations process. These happen at the federal level. So it's important to look at, like what you were saying, the zoning and the regulations at your local level. But the big picture stuff is really going to come down on everybody, no matter what city, state you're in, whether you're in Portland, Oregon, or Silver Spring, Maryland. We're all in the same boat federally.
Remind folks, of course, you're listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, and my guest tonight is Bethany Moore, the Communications and Projects Manager for the National Cannabis Industry Association. So now, looking ahead, what do you see happening with marijuana laws at the state level over the next couple of years? Are we looking at, more corporatization? Are we looking at more home grows? Are we looking at more states? That's sort of a broad question, but hey.
Yeah. There's a lot of little pieces to that question. Let me see. Let me pull up my crystal ball and see what it says. Well, we saw some great victories in the last election. So watching these four adult use and four medical states implement their laws over the next couple of years will be interesting. And I'd like to see how those work out. Massachusetts, I think, is one to look at. It was really nicely written. And I got to speak with some of the folks that were involved in the rules and writing process there. I think what I would like to see is the cannabis industry continue to be an opportunity for small business owners, for mom and pop shops, for small to medium sized businesses to have another opportunity in America to build a business, to achieve the American dream. So I hope as these states, more states come online and they're deciding what the licensing fees and application fees are, that they keep in mind that not everybody who is the right choice for being a business owner in the cannabis industry is going to come from an investment background or going to come from a wealthy family where they have the resources to pay a $30,000 application or licensing fee. Those are some big numbers. So states like Massachusetts, you're seeing much lower numbers, essentially a lower barrier to entry, which allows the average Joe, the average Jane, the average Mary Jane, if you will. But that was bad. To become a business owner. And oh, you're like ashamed of that joke I just made, that, are you?
No.
Too easy.
It's just one of those. Well, and okay, seriously, one of the things about Oregon we were really proud of was keeping the barriers to entry rather low. Then you've got a state like Arkansas. I was just looking at the they're talking about postponing the start date for their medical.
I saw that.
But they're also talking about requiring $2 million in the bank before anyone even bothers to apply. I mean, that's
That's pretty rough.
That's a chunk of change.
It's not a very welcoming opportunity for, you know, somebody who wants to be a business owner at the smaller scale level. And cannabis really, you know, yes, there's going to be the big cultivators, the big chain dispensaries. That'll happen, sure. But there's also the boutique, and there are people that prefer that kind of atmosphere. So I feel that in a lot of cases, that will be a consumer-driven trend, that those will prefer having smaller mom and pop style shops to purchase their cannabis from instead of going to the big box store marijuana shop. But there's room for both, and I'd like to make sure as we go forward that both are included in every state's program. Everybody has an opportunity, whether you're a one person marketing company or you want to make edibles and you want to stay small or be a shop owner, that those opportunities are not so far out of reach that it literally becomes an unattainable dream.
Well, let's shift gears for just a second. Yeah, I mean, there's just the past few years, this has just been a revolution in drug policy. The most visible aspect has been marijuana legalization. Mm-hmm. There's other aspects, of course, harm reduction. People can say those words without losing grants, but visibly, it's been about marijuana. Now, 30 years ago, there were just two or three people prescribed federal weed. They were the only people in the country who could get it legally. Everyone else who grew or sold or even used weed were at some level or other criminal. I mean, we've had decriminalization, but that just meant lowering the penalties. It didn't make the arrest non-criminal. Mm-hmm. It just meant that you didn't have to go to jail directly. But now today, there are millions of people in the U.S. who can legally possess and grow and purchase marijuana for their own use. I mean, weed used to be a symbol for hippies, you know, the counterculture, this outlaw life. And now it's regulated. There are legislators visiting pot farms. I saw Earl Blumenauer hand out awards at a cultivator's classic a few months ago, for heaven's sake, to the best grower. You know, they're raising campaign donations from cannabis businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, there are corporate people in Wall Street looking at investment opportunities in the weed business. The cultural impact of legalization is something that we're just starting to see roll out. Give me your thought. You've been working on this for a while as that impact has started to be felt. And you're a poet, so you have that kind of background to be able to talk about this. What kind of thing I know your Facebook. what do you think has been some of the cultural impact of this? What are some of the cultural changes we're seeing?
Oh, well, the normalization of cannabis, you know, seeing mothers that support it. I mean, the stories that we've seen about the medical impacts it's had on these poor kids with epilepsy, or other veterans who are, well, veterans can't legally have access, unfortunately, but those with injuries or other sleep issues are able to use cannabis instead of other harsher medications. So that's one way that the hearts and minds of mainstream America are able to say, maybe it's not such a crazy, wacky thing after all. Maybe it does have value. So the cannabis culture is diverse. And yes, we've got what you said, like from the 30, 40 years ago, from the 70s, the hippies, sure, the music lovers, the free spirits. But we also have regular business folks who, instead of coming home and drinking a bottle of wine or a glass, if they're moderate, you know, they'll smoke a joint or two and to relax, or to help them sleep, instead of using other substances. So I'd like to see it continuing to normalize into everyday culture, and it not just be associated with any one particular group. It's all of us. It's a plant of the people. Whatever kind of person you are, I consider myself a beatnik, so.
Close enough. Well, the beatniks were renowned for the for marijuana. One day we will be talking about. We'll go back. We'll look at we'll look at Allen Ginsberg and William S. Burroughs and some of the wonderful stuff they produced under the influence. Actually, Actually, Burroughs didn't do a lot of writing under the influence. He got his inspiration under the influence, and then dried out, and then did his writing. It's neat stuff. Because that's, I don't know, it's the evolving culture. Like I say, I started back in 72 when I was a kid. I ordered a copy of the report from the White House. I wanted to see what they had to say because I was reading encyclopedias. I was a smart little kid. They saw this little pamphlet. I was so disappointed.
Oh.
You know, but years later, it's the Reagan administration, and there's this great report came out. There was not only the marijuana and health, there was this companion volume about analysis of marijuana policy that actually recommended decrim. They never got money. They were never allocated money to publish it. So it was sort of a semi-stat publication that you could get hold of by talking to normal. It's just this, the changes that we go through. And you know, I'd love to chat for another, I wish we had a lot more time, but you know, we're coming up to the top of the hour. The clock has beaten us once again. I don't know how the clock does that. I think it cheats.
It just keeps going. It does. Never stops.
It does.
I'll just have to find an excuse to come back to Portland again soon and visit you.
You will. You will. Well, the Quarterly Cannabis Caucus that you just had here in Portland, this is a thing that your organization does on a regular. People should know how to keep up with NCIA and the work that you do. So where are you on the web? Where are you on Twitter?
We're on all the things. We have a website, www.thecannabisindustry.org. We're also on Facebook. You can just search for our organization's name and find our official Facebook page. We have Twitter as well. It is NCIA.org. And we also have a newsletter that we put out if you subscribe, which you can do on our website, subscribe to our newsletter. You can get all those fancy videos that I was talking about earlier, and keep up on the work we're doing. There is a section on our website for events. So if anybody is interested in checking out our quarterly cannabis caucuses, we're in 8 regions across the country 4 times a year, quarterly, in fact.
What was the other one? Well, I'll get to the, you know, this just sort of slips your mind. Oh, well, that was the, National Cannabis Industry Association, Bethany Moore. The, any closing thoughts for the listeners? Tell Portland give Portland some knowledge.
Hey, Portland. I used to live here, actually, in 2009, 10, and 11, and I really enjoyed it. Today is a really interesting weather day for you all with all the snow. But I love coming back here to Portland, and I love seeing how there's dispensaries as I ride around town in my Uber, and it's fantastic. That wasn't the case when I lived here before. But if there's anybody here in the cannabis industry, even if you're what I would call an ancillary business, like an accountant or a lawyer or a marketing person, get involved in NCIA. We're here, and it's a great way to meet other members in the industry. And we have these meetings quarterly, and last night was great. Despite the weather and the scary roads, it was a great crowd of people, and I'm glad everybody was brave enough to come on out. And when we're back here in April, it'll be back to the normal rainy weather, I assume.
I hesitated to ask because of the weather. I wasn't sure. I'm glad to hear you got a good turnout, though. That's cool.
Yeah, there was more people than I imagined were going to show up. So that was fantastic.
Weed people were indomitable. Well, now, folks, this is the top of the hour. That's it for this edition of Free Culture Radio. I thank you all for joining us. I want to thank my guest, Bethany Moore, with the National Cannabis Industry Association. Many thanks to our engineer for board hopping. And especially thanks to you, dear listener, because you make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/KBOO Free Culture Radio. Please give it a like. You can find links there to past shows and announcements about upcoming programs and events and other stuff like news items that may be of interest. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. And we'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Looking at doing a wine show in the next couple of months. We'll have something on LSD and psychedelics. There is so much happening with psychedelic research. Our friends at MAPS have been making tremendous strides and other kinds of stuff. And look forward to that. Again, thank you for listening. I'm Doug McVeigh. Good night.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio.
Good morning, honey. You old gloomy sight. Good morning.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Lady Sings the Blues, showing Monday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. Diana Ross portrays jazz singer Billie Holiday in this biographical drama. The film depicts her early attempts at a singing career and her eventual rise to stardom, as well as her difficult relationships and drug addiction. Again, that's Lady Sings the Blues.